people who are in positions to do so. If you know the actual, like an actual corporate email address for Tim Hortons, please let me know, because that's what I could find online. And then just one last thing about Rowling, because I am so sick of talking about this utter ghoul. If you missed it, J.K. Rowling was criticized earlier in July for posting an image of a trans woman that showed up her skirt. The author posted an image to her account on July 11th under a long thread of screenshots and past posts written by the woman identified as Freda Wallace. The image shows Wallace sat in a chair with one leg crossed over the other while wearing fishnets and a short skirt. Rowling then misgendered Wallace and I believe dead named. Well, I don't actually know what their dead name is, but it seems like they were trying to. So Rowling had this to say, sadly, Fred's refusing to debate me to prove I have no hard feelings and that Fred does engage with some lucky women. There's a picture of him debating Helen Joyce. I hear he left an audible impression on the audience and the chair. So the reference debate was hosted by the Institute of Economic Affairs in 2023 around the topic, does transgender ideology threaten liberal values? In the debate's video description, Joyce is listed as a former finance editor at The Economist and the author of Trans When Ideology Meets Reality and the director of advocacy at Sex Matters, while Wallace is listed as a, quote, political commentator, freelance writer, and host of the Gender Nebulous podcast. Also in attendance were gay human rights campaigner Peter Tatchell and Mark Glendening, who is the head of cultural affairs and IEA. Rowling received criticism for the post, with one user saying, why would you ever post a photo like this? Or would you ever post a photo like this of a cis woman? What would you think of a man who posted a photo like this of any woman? So what makes it that you think that it is okay to post this photo of a trans woman? And Rowling responded with, Fred was at a public event that was filmed with all participants' knowledge. Fred chose fishnets and a miniskirt. Fred boasted on stage about what he does with his female penis. You may feel squeamish about the picture, but Fred is a paraphilic exhibitionist who is having the time of his life. There you go. So Rowling is a ghoul. That story, by the way, comes from Pink News, written by just as Pink News reporter. So I apologize for not having a name for that. But I think their point, or the point of that person that they mentioned, is really good. If I posted a photo up a woman's skirt on Twitter, what do you think the response to that would be? Even if I said it was out in public. It's an absolutely ghoulish thing to say. And this is the person that people are bending themselves into all kinds of shapes to justify continuing to read. I mean, Jesus Christ. Go get the book from the library if you need it that bad. But I swear to God, there is so much other things to read for now. We'll talk about that later. But I have no patience or understanding left at this stage. If you are now in this, you know, because look, I grew up with Harry Potter as well. He grew up with me. I grew up with him. I remember being excited for the seventh book to come out, and I remember loving all the movies. But guess what? Then I realized she was a monster, and also realized that the books aren't that good. And Harry is kind of a wiener as a character, but that's besides the point. Look, here's what I'm saying at this stage. Let it go. If you cannot let it go, you are actively harming some people. If you need this in your life somehow, if this is the last thing that is keeping your life together, then you need to go to therapy. Because you need to figure out who you are. And if you tell me that you are a leftist and you love Harry Potter, I don't believe you anymore. Get your shit together. That is what I have to say about that. Get your shit together. And stop hand-wringing about a book from 25 years ago, a movie from 25 years ago, and just get over it. Because she is doing harm with money that you are giving her. And if that doesn't matter to you, that's fine. But we are out of things to talk about now. So that's it. Obviously, Tim Hortons can take a, you know, long walk off a short dock or whatever. I got nothing good to say about them anymore either. I don't know. You know, I've said all the things that I can say about this at this stage. I think at a certain point you just start repeating yourself. So, I'm done. As I said, I want to restate this. Do not harass the employees at the Tim Hortons locations in your community. They are trying to survive. There are queer and trans people that work in these restaurants. It is not so simple as quit your job and find something else, because a lot of people are hanging on by a thread right now. So leave them alone. And if you are a franchise owner, consider standing up to Tim Hortons. Consider not participating. You've got 11 days to make the right call here. This starts on the 12th. And if you own a franchise and you have a spine, maybe that's a good way to protest it too. And don't force your employees to sell this shit. But I don't know. All right. Imminence, false light. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the destruction of books to feed AI, because the world is a literal nightmare. So we will be back after this. I need to cut you off before you say. Yeah. imminence there with false light. All right, we're going to talk about a new thing that horrifies me deeply. This piece comes from the Guardian and is one of the few that I was able to find that wasn't paywalled. So finding stuff about this issue is weirdly a lot of paywalls come up. And I wonder about that, but anyway, whatever. So this one is Stephanie Convery from The Guardian. More than just objects, Australian booksellers raise alarm over horrific destruction of rare titles to feed AI. Secondhand booksellers believe that they may have been caught up in the AI supply chain that sees the old books scanned and then destroyed. This came out August 1st, so actually the day I'm recording this. Sometimes books tell you more than the content, says Tim White as he lines up carefully dust-jacketed books and pamphlets in plastic sleeves on temporary shelves at Melbourne University's Wilson Hall. He's preparing his stall for the weekend's Melbourne Rare Book Fair for people like White, who runs an independent bookshop called Books for Cooks. The book is a physical object as just as important as what's inside it. And I think anyone who reads can really relate to that. Vendors and rare book experts are increasingly worried, however, about these artifacts are under threat of destruction by generative AI companies seeking to feed their ravenous technology with new texts. Fears stem from a copyright lawsuit brought against AI company Anthropic from the United States by book authors. Unsealed court files revealed earlier this year that the company was engaging in the practice of destructive scanning, buying physical books, slicing off the spines to more efficiently scan the pages, and then pulping the remains, and had sought to keep it quiet. So even they know it's not okay. Anyway, all right. The judge ruled that this was lawful under the U.S. copyright law, as it amounted to transformative use. So the U.S. copyright court there said that this was fair use. The practice is now understood to be widespread amongst generative AI companies, and recent reports suggest that intermediaries are stepping up to facilitate the process. Australian secondhand booksellers are wondering if they have been caught up in the AI supply chain after they recently experienced waves of orders that did not fit the usual customer patterns. Multiple vendors confirmed to The Guardian Australia that they had received orders from a Canadian company called Zoom Books. Keep that in mind, Zoom Books, which describes itself as a, quote, book recycler. The orders usually came through large secondhand marketplaces like Abe Books or Biblio, where inventory can range from cheap paperbacks to rare, expensive items. Delphina Manor, who runs Good Reading Secondhand Books in Benalla, Victoria, said that she received orders from Zoom Books in May amounting to 3 full boxes, but had to write the company and ask them not to order in such volume again. They ordered paid in advance, and they didn't quibble over postage, but it would have been 30 or 40 books, so finding them, packing them, making sure that you hadn't missed one out, it was driving me nuts. John Sainsbury, owner of Melbourne Sainsbury Books, confirmed a slew of orders from Zoom Books had come through the store's online listings around the same time. They were the orders were price insensitive and appeared entirely random. Niche titles, bottom end, and sometimes decades-old stock. The orders resulted in Sainsbury shipping multiple boxes overseas. Some vendors speculate the company may be buying books on arbitrage, common enough in the secondhand book trade, but the specific request nevertheless seemed odd. In one order, a 1970s manual on soil mechanics was bought alongside a 2010 book called Born to Thunder, Champions of New Zealand Cycling, a collection of early Australian poetry from 1982, and a local history of a suburb of Melbourne. White says that the issue raises an interesting tension. If a $20 book, of which there's 500,000 copies in Australia, or if it's a $20 book where there's 500,000 copies of it, I wouldn't cry. I'd have different issues around copyright. If it's a book that has storytelling element to it, or it's a one-off, then it's horrific. And that is the thing here, is it's not just huge mass market books that we're talking about. We're talking about rare, one-of-a-kind pieces that are just gone now. For booksellers struggling to catalog the vast stocks of books, let alone sell them, the sales aren't necessarily bad. Nick Dawes, who runs Grant's Bookshop with his wife, estimates that they have about 500,000 books in their warehouse. If someone wanted to come and buy all the books up, well, I'd be happy on one, unhappy on one level and happy on another. But if someone said to me, look, this is the only known copy and I'm going to cut it up, I'd say I'd rather not send it to you. AI companies are not the first to destroy books for profit. Some vendors source rare books in order to slice them up and sell the illustration plates individually. When I sell a book and then find the prints available individually, I find it physically abhorrent, says rare bookseller Gwyneth Todd from Chatelaine Books. She screens buyers accordingly so that the books don't go to the wrong home. And I think that we're going to have to start doing that. So... an Anthropic spokesperson said the company has never bought from Zoom Books, but that sourcing books is widely used as an approach for training large language models across the AI industry. Anthropic procures books from mainstream commercial markets. None of our data acquisition programs buy and destroy rare or antiquarian books. I would just put forward, though, that this was the same company who didn't want anybody to know that they were doing this in the first place. So... I'm not really prepared to take them at their word. Zoom Books co-founder Manroop Gill says in a recent LinkedIn post that the company has been aggressively expanding in the past month. Zoom Books has previously denied it destructively scans books. A spokesperson told Guardian Australia, we acquire secondhand books and resell them intact. We do not digitize books. Our priority is always reuse, and when a book can no longer be rehomed, it is responsibly recycled. The company did not disclose if it sold intact books to AI companies for destructive scanning and saying that their commercial agreements require confidentiality. Yeah, that means that they do. So, you know, if they actually cared or had a stance on it, then they would have said that, I think. So Anthropic and many others are destroying books to scan them and feed them into AI models. I mean, that's it. That is absolutely horrific. They are doing this. And, you know, I'm sure many of them would say that they would never destroy a rare book, but I don't believe that for a second because it doesn't matter to them. It's just data. It's just content. And what's interesting is a lot of folks have shown that you can actually non-destructively scan a book. It may take a little bit longer. And so apparently these AI companies are on some kind of deadline to pulp every book in existence to feed it to the AI model. So what I don't understand just right off the bat is that is that part, is the part where there are ways to do this non-destructively. And that, look, that's putting a lot of things aside. I don't think they should be feeding large language models books at all. I don't think they should be feeding them anything. I do not think that this practice should be happening. Full stop. However, there are ways to do it non-destructively. And they can't be bothered to do that. Because all of this bullshit is a race. Everyone needs to be first so that they can cash in and then cash out and be done. If they take too long, someone else does it faster and gets more money than them. Straight up, that's how this is. This happened with NFTs. This happened with... It happens with every new thing. It happens with every crypto coin that every idiot puts out and does a rug pull on. Everyone wants to be first, and they do not care what the consequence is because they can cash out. And so what we're looking at now is a race to make whatever specific large language model the biggest one. Anthropic wants theirs to be the biggest one. Elon Musk wants Grok to be the biggest one. And so the way that they do that is feed them things that they see as disposable, because to them, it isn't relevant whether or not this lasts. So imagine that, going into your library, your local library, and there's nothing there because someone has come in, scooped all the books out, and destroyed them. And for what? So that you can ask your computer about a book, or so that your computer can tell you more bullshit. This isn't okay. And I feel like I'm just honestly, there are, it's interesting because there are elements to this that feel a lot like what I was talking about in the beginning with the Harry Potter thing, is we keep having this conversation. And I don't know what else to say. Because we're at a point now where every conversation about this or anything divisive, people will just dig in on either side, no matter what. And so we end up in this loop where we continue to fight with each other so that the people that are doing the active harm can just continue to make money as fast as possible. We get distracted yelling at each other and we don't worry about it. Or they don't worry about it. They're not involved. This is what happens with the left and the right. The right are really good at coming together on issues and pushing them forward, where the left fights with itself. It's the same thing happening. It's just in these different siloed areas. If you can hear that books are being destroyed to feed AI and still think that it's okay, then we kind of don't have anything to talk about. Right? This is the same thing from before. If you can hear the harm that Rowling is doing and you don't care, then we don't have anything to talk about. And if we don't have anything to talk about, we're kind of screwed. And, you know, like I see, here in Hazleton, everybody's still on Facebook, and that's fine, whatever. And I see so many local businesses and food trucks and everything still using AI to make their promotional material, to make the logos that they stick on their business. And if you think that we don't know, we do. We can see it. It is obvious. And if you're thinking, not mine, yes, yours. We all know what you're doing. Every single show flyer generated with AI, every single food menu generated with AI, we know. And the thing, too, what boggles my mind, too, especially with food, is you have a product that you could take photos of right there, and you have the food. And you don't trust that your food looks good enough, so you use AI to make it look better, and it doesn't. It makes me think you're hiding something. I am so substantially less likely to patronize a restaurant that uses AI to advertise, even an independent one. There's no excuse now. And if you use AI, you should lose business. People should shame you. It should be embarrassing to use AI. And instead, these companies like Anthropic can pulp books with impunity because it's not embarrassing yet to use AI. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem. And I'm saying this again, if you are listening to this and you think that you are slick and that we can't tell that you're using AI for all of your posts on Facebook, or in some cases I have seen in Smithers using it for the logo on your door, we know. You are using AI. And some people won't care. They will continue to ignore it, the same as the Rowling stuff. But I won't. And I will actively tell people to do the same. I mean, it's lazy and it's shameful. And if you use it, you should be embarrassed and ashamed, straight up. We're going to talk a bit more about this. I'm going to try and find some more unpaywalled articles. We'll talk about them a bit more in the next hour. You are listening to Sierra Moose Radio. You're listening to this all over the country and all over the world. And I thank you for listening to this show. I know it's been kind of an angry first hour, but I'm angry. So, you know, what can I say? My throat hurts. I'm going to probably try and do a little more. I think I overbooked my music for the second half, so maybe that'll be be a good way to stop talking so much. Anyway, check this this song out. This is Caution Tape, Heartbreak. Nothing is going to be the same, and I can hear my dog barking, so I'm going to go and feed her, and I will be back after this. Thank you.